morning. Great to see everybody this morning. I want to join my voice with Zach's and just talk about last Sunday and last Friday, just the whole Easter weekend experience. What an incredible time that was. And for all of you who are part of that, part of our worship, or part of volunteering and being difference makers in that, thank you so much for helping make that just a beautiful weekend of service and worship. Just a great time together. I also want to thank everyone who was involved over the last 2 months with our combined adult class that we had down here in the gym. We ended it last week. We're going to go back to regular classes today. Our regular classes are fantastic, and I want to invite you to find one of those. But I will say, this has become, over the last couple of years, a special time to have all of our people together for those weeks and to start building some relationships, having some fun together. It's a really great chance for folks in our first worship and our second worship to get to know each other. And we saw that again this year, and what a great blessing that was. So thank you for everyone that was part of that. And specifically, I think he's here. Yeah, Mark McSpadden helped teach that. He did a fantastic job. And I want to thank him for his role in making that a successful time as well. So a few weeks ago, our family went to a concert here in Dallas. And there was an opening act, a solo act. And at the end of his short set, he said, "Okay, now I'm going to sing a song that I think everybody in here is going to know." And he started to set up why he was singing the song without telling us what the song was. And you could tell that what he was trying to do was create an emotional moment. He wanted to end his time on stage with kind of hitting us in the feels a little bit. He wanted us to feel a specific kind of thing as he was ending. And so I shouldn't have been surprised when he started singing these words. I will not sing them. I love you too much for that. I'm going to say them, and I think you might be able to help, some of you at least, help finish a couple of these lines. I'll prompt you. You'll know when. He's saying these words. "I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself," that may be the least enthusiastic "what a wonderful world" that's ever been said in the history of the planet. But yeah, this is the song he's saying. He did it without instruments. Beautiful. He did a beautiful job. But as he started the song, I kind of had the thought, that's kind of cheating. If you're creating an emotional moment, it's kind of cheating to go to "What a Wonderful World," because over the past 30 years or so, that has become one of the go-tos, right? If you want to create a positive emotional moment in a commercial, a TV show, a movie trailer, this is one of the songs. You get some famous person to cover it, or you play the Louis Armstrong version, and this is the song that you go to, because for some reason, for a lot of us, it has an impact on us. It's a beautiful song. It's an uplifting song. It's a positive, optimistic song. It's really a song about stopping, kind of looking around the world and being amazed. Being amazed at the things you see, not only in the creation, but in other people. And I think deep down, we all kind of know that that is something that we should do more often. We should have experiences like that, experiences of awe. We know that awe is an important emotion. We know that awe does something to us. But if we're going to figure out what awe does to us, first we've got to have to figure out what awe is. And so for this sermon series, I went looking for a definition. What's a good definition that we could use for awe here? And I looked in Christian books, I listened to podcasts, I looked online, I talked to trusted voices in my life. And what's funny is where I found the definition was in a non-Christian book written by a psychologist named Dacher Keltner. And this is the definition that he uses. He has done many studies on awe and the effects that it has on people. He says, awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your current understanding of the world. Okay, I know we got to unpack this a little bit. Awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your current understanding of the world. Okay, maybe said a simpler way, awe is the recognition that we're part of something that's much bigger than us. That we can stop and we can be amazed by something to the point that it starts to change our perspective. It changes the way that we see the world. That's the definition of awe here. And what's interesting is what scientists are kind of coming to understand, scientists and psychologists and others, is that we are built to experience awe. It is baked into us that we could stop and be amazed so much so that it changes the way we see things, which is really interesting to think about. And as people of faith, I think we can understand this, right? We have moments in Scripture that kind of help us with this. Right at the beginning of Genesis, when we get these stories of God creating the earth, there's this beautiful moment. One of the things that I love about God's creation is that he doesn't just create a functional world. He doesn't create a well-oiled machine and set it going and just be, okay, there we go. We're going to plop humankind down in the middle of that. He does much more. I want you to see these words in Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. Okay, I'm struck by the adjectives there. These are words that do not stand on their own. They describe how the trees and the fruit were experienced by humankind. The trees can only be beautiful if there's someone there to see them and say that they're beautiful. The fruit can only be delicious if there's somebody there to eat it and say that it's delicious. I love that detail, that God created a garden that he wanted humankind to enjoy, to savor, to be amazed by. He wanted them to love this. And so he made things that were beautiful and delicious. He created us to experience beauty. God has created us with the capacity to experience awe. And so one of the questions that over the next 2 months as we go through this sermon series that we're going to be asking is why? Why would God create us with this ability? What's important about awe? We're going to look at it from a variety of perspectives. Today I want to focus in on one question. And that's the question of what do we learn about ourselves from our moments of awe? And to answer that, I want to go to Scripture. We're going to be in the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bibles or your YouVersion app, jump on there. Psalm 8 is the psalm that we're going to be looking at today. The Psalms are a collection of songs, many of which are just beautiful expressions of awe and amazement at who God is, at what he does, and what he's created. And Psalm 8 is no exception. It starts off like this. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. So the psalmist is in awe of God and God's power. Then it gets more specific. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? I love this. I love picturing the psalmist standing out in the dark, sacred night, looking up at the sky, no light pollution, right, in this time. So it's just the beauty and the splendor of all the stars you can see. And if you've seen that, you know how overwhelming that can be. And here's the psalmist looking at that, marveling at it, marveling at the power of God, and also feeling their smallness. In comparison to this huge creation, what are mere mortals that God would care for us? That's what's happening to the psalmist as they look at the sky and they realize there's this huge creation and there's little old me. What's my role? What part do I play in this? How could God care and love me? Let's see, a few years ago, I was with our youth group and we were going on a trip to Colorado. I was driving in the mountains there. In the Rocky Mountains, we were heading to a campground that we were going to be staying at for a few days. And I've been in the Rockies many, many times. I've been on summits there. I've had those experiences. So I cannot tell you why. But for some reason on this particular drive, as I was trying to keep the van on the road with all these kids in the back, right, I just got overwhelmed by the beauty and the splendor of what I was seeing. Just something about, you know, all the mountains and how far it stretched, and it was a beautiful sky. There was something about it that overwhelmed me, because I started thinking not just about that, but how far that went. That even beyond that, there's a whole world. Beyond that, there's space. Just the hugeness of it. That's probably not a word, but hugeness of that was so important to me in that moment. And like the psalmist, I kind of felt my smallness. I hope that you have had moments like that, which may sound like a strange thing to say, but I think that we need regular reminders that we are not the centers of the universe. I think we need experiences like that that tell us the world does not revolve around us, because that's one of our temptations, right? To get so caught up in our world and the little world around us, we get so caught up in that we think that we're the center of everything. And it's moments of awe that can help reorient us and let us know what our place in the world is, that we're not as big as we think we are. And we have a word for that, right? Humility. So I think one of the gifts that awe can give us is the gift of humility. It teaches us where we are in relationship to God in our world. But, I do want to say, I did not plan a series on awe right before an eclipse on purpose. I am not that smart. I would not have put that together. This was planned long before I realized there was an eclipse this week. But tomorrow is one of those days, right, where we may, clouds permitting, we may have the ability to see something truly awe-inspiring that makes us think about this universe and how it works and how it spins and what role we play in it. And I hope part of that reflection for you is a humbling thing that lets you know that we aren't the centers of the universe, but our God is, and how powerful he is. So just a great coincidence for me that works out with the eclipse this week. I do want to make clear that our smallness in comparison to the universe does not mean we are insignificant. It doesn't mean that we don't have a purpose or a meaning. We do, and I want to go back to the psalm. Psalm 8's not done. I want you to see what else the psalmist says here, starting in verse 5. Yet you made them, humankind, you made humankind only a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims, the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. So the psalmist isn't just humbled by the bigness of the world. The psalmist also realizes they have a part to play in it. Just like Adam and Eve were given jobs in the garden, they were given a role to play. We do too. We have a role to play in God's creation. So we made it to the campgrounds, and we got set up. And towards the evening, the people we were with called us together and said, okay, we're going to be doing some spiritual practices this week. We're going to do one right now. I'm like, okay. So they kind of spread us out in the middle of the forest. So it's us chaperones and some teenagers. And they said, what we want you to do is we want you standing up. We want you to look down at the ground in front of you and pick a 1 foot by 1 foot square piece of earth. And we want you to stare at it for 2 minutes, which is uncomfortably long, by the way, when you're just staring at the ground. We're going to let you look at this piece of earth. Just see what you can see. Okay? So we do that, 2 minutes. I start, you know, it was what it was. It's a piece of earth. I could see some things, but after that, they said, okay, what did you see? We kind of talked through it. They said, all right, now we want you to get on your knees. Same piece of earth. Okay, I get it. 2 minutes of staring at the earth. It's a perspective thing. Great, this sounds great. So I'm looking at this piece of earth, 2 minutes. Now I'm starting to see some color I didn't see before. Now I'm starting to see some movement, some insects that I hadn't seen before. Things are starting to become a little more clear. So we talk that through, and then they say, okay, last one, lay on your stomach. And that's when everybody kind of looked at each other and like, are we really going to do it? Like all these high school kids are looking at us adults going, and we're like, yep, let's do it, you know, and get down on our stomachs. Kind of uncomfortable. Same piece of earth, same 2 minutes. I don't know how to describe what kind of happened to me in that moment. All of a sudden, I realized that I was looking at this, you know, tiny, delicate ecosystem. There were all kinds of things. It was teeming with life that I hadn't seen from 3 foot up or 6 foot, 5'11 up. You know, I hadn't seen that. And now I'm seeing it. And I'm realizing just the beauty of this small little world that exists. And it dawned on me, okay, earlier today, I was struck with how big the world is, that it's infinitely bigger than me. And now I'm seeing this, and I realize that it's also infinitely smaller than me. That there's all these things that are tiny compared to me that I could stand up in this moment, take my foot, and wipe all this out without a second thought and kind of keep going. But I wasn't going to, because in that moment I had this sense of responsibility, of care, of love, even for, you know, some ant that was walking by in it gave me a totally different perspective. I had two experiences of awe. One that reminded me of my humble place in the world, my humble role. And then another one that reminded me, yeah, but I have responsibility. I think if we let awe do this, I think God has given us this capacity so that he can give us the gifts of humility and responsibility. I think those come through our experiences of awe. I remember that the first moments of holding my newborn children were those kind of awe moments. As they handed me the kid and I'm holding this baby, just completely confused as to how could they possibly send this child home with me if they only knew how unprepared I was for this moment. And that was even with the second one. I mean, I'd already done this before. They wouldn't let me take this baby, but just being humbled by, oh my goodness, I am part of something unbelievable here. But in the same moment, feeling a deep responsibility to care for, to love this new creation. Both of those things existing in that moment of awe. I think it's so easy for us to get distracted and forget the importance of humility and responsibility. We get so caught up in our own worlds. We get so caught up in the busyness of life. We get so caught up in looking around the world and seeing the bad stuff. And there's plenty of bad stuff. We'll talk about that in another week. There's plenty of bad stuff to see, but we get so caught up by that that we miss the awe-inspiring things. We neglect to see the beautiful world that God has created. because we get so focused on all the other stuff. And when we do that, I'm afraid it's to our detriment, because if all we're doing is focusing on the negative stuff, if we're neglecting the awe-inspiring things of this world, I think we end up turning in on ourselves, turning in to our own concerns. And at some point when we do that, we start neglecting any responsibility that we have to creation or to other people, to each other. I think this is how we fall into the trap of selfishness and apathy, is by getting so turned in on ourselves. And maybe one of the ways to remedy that is to turn out and put ourselves in positions to experience awe, because awe shows us another way. Awe reminds us that we are not the center of God's universe, but we do have a role to play in it. I don't know if that sounds like good news to you, but I believe that it really, really is. We are not gods, but God loves us enough to create us and calls us to lives of care and love towards his creation and towards each other. I think that our experiences of awe should refresh that holy perspective in our lives. I think when we hold on to that perspective, we start to see things, see our lives the way God always intended us to. And part of why I think that is because we see this in Jesus. If you think about Jesus's ministry and his life, his death and his resurrection, two words that you could very easily use to describe Jesus: humility and responsibility. He knew what he was here for. He humbled himself. He came to earth as a man. He went through all the things that we go through in deep, deep humility. And he did it. He went through all this suffering and pain. He did it for us, for the responsibility that he felt towards us because of his love. He did that for us. And he calls us to a similar kind of life. Can we believe that that is truly how life should be lived? Church, would you stand with me? I don't think that experiences of awe should be relegated to the Rocky Mountains or a trip to the Grand Canyon or holding a baby. I think we're designed to experience awe on a more day-to-day basis. And so over this series, I'm going to give you some challenges, kind of day-to-day challenges that you can do to put yourself in a position to experience awe. And the first one this week is pretty easy. It's just get outside. Get outside in a spirit of prayer. Go to a place near you, maybe the place that you experience nature the best. Go out there, get rid of the phone for a while, and ask God to reveal to you a world that is infinitely larger than you and a world that is infinitely smaller than you, and see what he does. See how he answers that prayer in your life, and then just pay attention. Be open to an experience of awe around you. And my prayer is that as we do that during this series, that we'll continue to grow more and more in the likeness of Jesus. Now, if you're here today and you would like to pray with somebody, to talk with somebody, we have some of our leaders back here by this Respond banner. And as we sing this song together, please come find us back there and we'll pray for you there.